Hey, welcome back, travelers, to Relish the Journey. I'm your host, Miles Biggs, as always. And this episode is going to be solo, which is not as always. Typically, we have a guest, but today I'm going to bring you down a personal journey of mine. Recently, I went to Las Vegas for a work trip to the International Builders Show, and I actually spoke at the International Builders Show about how to start a podcast, and then had a few other panels. I did one about housing specifically, and then one where I was on, you know, the trade show floor, which is really cool, for this beer and banter panel, where it was me and a bunch of other young professionals that were talking about entrepreneurship and what it takes to start your own business, and just a real free-flowing Q&A type panel, which was amazing. I loved it. So this episode is the audio recording of the presentation I gave about how to start a podcast, and I just felt like it was worth sharing. You know, here I am podcasting to you guys, and some of you out there might be wondering, hey, how do I do this myself? And that's really what I get into here, is the nuts and bolts of the services I use, the programs I use, the, you know, marketing tools I use to help create the images or the subtitled little audiograms that I have on Instagram. And so that's all here, and some Q&A from folks about their specific questions, and you might have the same questions. So very cool episode. It's kind of weird. You know, I cringe when I listen to it because I hear myself smacking my lips or saying or stumbling over my words, but I'm not editing any of that out because, you know, I'm real. I'm real with you guys. I appreciate you coming along with the journey like we've talked about, but, you know, nobody's perfect, and I don't try to be, and I've learned so much from doing this podcast of just how to speak and how to talk and how to carry a conversation and command a room and really read a room and know what that room needs before I open my mouth and focus just on what I need. And to me, that's been the best thing that's come out of this project so far, is that true self-confidence and comfortability, whatever that word is, with myself and what I know. And there's a true power that comes with having that confidence in yourself and being so sure of the content you're talking about that it doesn't matter what that question and answer period is. You're going to answer any question they throw at you because you know. If you talk about something you're not sure about, that's a very anxiety-ridden experience because you're hoping there's no questions because you're not quite sure how to answer it. But this one, for me, I was ready. I was wanting the questions. I left 10 minutes specifically for the questions, and they were great. So the audio is a little, you know, in and out. I was wearing a lavalier mic, and so the people ask questions. It's a little bit hard to tell, but again, it's raw, it's real, and I felt like I should share it with you guys, and I appreciate it. So here we go. This is me. It was called Brand Yourself, How to Start a Podcast for Your Housing Business. So enjoy, and hope you learned something.
And good morning, and thank you for braving the Las Vegas morning. I know everyone probably had late nights last night, so I appreciate you being here. Before we get started, I always feel it's important to explain who I am and why you should listen to me. I find myself asking that question every time I'm sitting in your seats, is who the heck is this guy, and why is he up here, and what am I going to learn from him? There we go. So, that is me. And my beautiful wife, Claire, and my son, Mason. So, when I'm not doing the podcast or working at Ritzcraft, I spend as much time as possible with these two. Like Devin said, I'm the general manager of Ritzcraft Homes out of Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. And that is my 9-to-5. Outside of that, I've built a podcast called Relish the Journey, where I interview all sorts of different people from different walks of life about the journey they're on and what they have to share. So, more about that. I started my podcast in November of 2017, and that was when the idea was born. I was, I'm sure like many of you, just a listener of podcasts and thought to myself, you know, why don't I do this? I'm listening to other people do it, but it can't be that hard to figure out and start. And so I started researching and come up with the idea and eventually got into it myself. So flash forward now, I have 56 episodes recorded. 47th of them will go live today, and I've got the rest waiting to go. I do one a week. So if you subscribe to this afterwards, you'll find it every week. And really the idea was, I felt like podcasts were millionaires talking to millionaires about what it's like to be millionaires when it comes to business stuff. And so I wanted to have a podcast of the everyday man talking to everyday people. It's grown since then. I've talked to family and friends and then to those CEOs. Ironically enough, I'm doing what I said I didn't want to do in talking to the bigwigs. But it's interesting because no matter what walk of life you come from, everybody does have something that they can share. So it's a little bit about me and why I'm standing up here talking to you today. My goals for this presentation is to get in the nuts and bolts of what is a podcast, the equipment you need to start a podcast, additional resources once you have the podcast started to help you market and grow your audience, content strategy for setting up what you're going to talk about and how you're going to go about broadcasting it, and then I'll leave time for a question and answer for any specific things you guys might be wondering. But before I do that, just quick show of hands so I get a read of the room. Does everybody here know what a podcast is? Yes? Okay. And you listen to podcasts regularly? Does anybody have their own podcast in the room, too? No? Okay. Cool. No one to fact check me then. You have to believe everything I say. So first, a podcast. If you guys listen to this, you know the name came from iPod plus broadcast equals podcast. So back in the early 2000s, before smartphones really took off, you had to physically download an MP3 and load it onto an MP3 player. And that's where the name was born. Now, with the advent of smartphones, you take them everywhere you need to go, and you're not tied to that physical MP3 player anymore. And you can think of a podcast like a radio show on demand. You can start and stop and play, fast forward, rewind, skip ads, things like that. And some data, which is interesting, from Nielsen, they did a study, and these images are from their study, that 50% of homes in America listen to podcasts. So what I love about this is while that's a lot of homes, there's still another 60 million that we can tap into. So it's a very big and growing marketplace and plenty of opportunity to advertise your business. And this one shows the increase in where people are listening. And so you can see, talking about smartphones, that huge jump since 2014, where most people are listening to podcasts, not just on an MP3 player or computer, but while they're driving, cooking, cleaning, things like that. It's a preferred form of content, creation and the way to consume content. So to begin, how do we start recording? And I'll preface this by there are many different ways to start a podcast. There's no one only way. What I'm going to talk about is what I did, and you guys might find a different way. There's tons of different microphones, audio interfaces, ways you can get it done. I'm just going to talk to you about what I know, which is the way I did it. So I started with very simply, and you could find this kit on Amazon for $99. So it's a really cheap way to jump in and have a professional sound still. So it's called Podcast Studio from Behringer, and you get what you see here on the right. You get a little mini soundboard with one microphone input. You get the microphone, the cords, and then a USB audio interface that plugs directly into your computer. So once you get it all set up and you talk into the microphone, it will record directly in your computer, and then you can edit it from there. So there are other ways that you can do it without the audio interface, where you just plug directly into the USB, but this gives you control over the audio levels, the highs, lows, mid-range of vocals. If someone has a very high-pitched voice, you can turn that down, so you can really control it. There's a gain switch as well. So it's not the best quality microphone they start you out with, but it allows you to increase the area of sound you're picking up. So if you're interviewing multiple people, you can still get it done with that microphone. I recorded the first 20 episodes of my show with that little setup, talking with people, and also talking to people on the phone. I'll get to that later, how you tie people in on the phone. But to start, all I did was put it on speaker and hold it up to the microphone, and it still works. So there's a lot of simple ways to just dive in and get into it without spending hundreds of dollars on equipment. I recommend not spending hundreds of dollars on equipment until you figure out what you're doing, because you'll end up wasting your money and frustrating yourself. So this is a great way to start, see if you first like it, if your idea sticks, if people want to keep listening to it before you make a big investment in a studio upgrade. And I saw some people taking pictures. After this, I'll send this presentation to you guys. So if you want to come see me, I'll give you a business card, I'll take yours, and I'll send it to you so you can have this as a reference later. So what you record into, this is another program. Again, very low barrier to entry. It's free. It's called Audacity. If you Google it, you can download it. And it's what the equipment will record into. If you have a Mac, GarageBand, it comes on your phone, it comes on your Mac already, you can use the same thing. So you record into this, and it's got very simple features like fade in, fade out for your audio. You could input additional MP3s for intro and outro music, or for interviews you recorded on a different device that you want to then edit. If you're on location, you have a handheld recorder or a smartphone, and you want to loop it into one, you can do that. Copy, paste, things like that. So you can do the very basics. If you want to get into more advanced editing, I recommend the Adobe Suite, but this is enough to get you started. So this is, again, the way I did it. I started with that $100 kit we talked about, and then these are some pictures of the upgrades I've made to the studio I set up in my house. So I liked the Behringer equipment. I found it very easy to use, and so all I did was upgrade there for the soundboard. I went from the one mic input to a four mic input. The soundboards, for whatever reason, only have one headphone input, so that's where this is called a Rolls headphone amplifier. It allows you to use that one input to then plug four headphones in, one for each microphone. You can get very affordable boom arms that you can attach to a table, so you can suspend the microphone and move it around based on where somebody's sitting. And if you want to sit in a more comfortable chair and not right up against a desk, the microphone can lean back with the person that's leaning back. So I have a few of those. And then that's an Audio-Technica is the brand name microphone. You can actually get a package with the microphone and that boom arm and the cords for about $120 all in one, which is really nice. So all in, I went from that $100 kit to what I have now set up in my house is a little under $500 is what my studio is. And not pictured here, but back to phones, I just figured out a better way to do it without holding the speakerphone up to the microphone. You can buy a cord that plugs into the microphone jack and then the headphone jack of your phone. And then it'll put the audio from your phone directly into the soundboard like that so you can manage it easier. So there's plenty out there if you Google it. And look on YouTube, you can teach yourself anything. So the ultimate question people have is, how do I get on iTunes? How do I get on iHeartRadio? And that's where a syndication service is very helpful. I use, this is called Liberated Syndication, or Libsyn for short, and it's a podcasting service, and there's a ton of them out there. Libsyn's the largest, and that's the one I use. It's a little bit more expensive, but you save yourself time and frustration for the money you spend. Right now I spend $15 a month, and that gives me, right here, 250 megabytes of storage. And to put that in perspective, I said I'd do one episode a week. Each episode is typically around 60 minutes. I can do four episodes a month for the 250 megabytes, and then each month it resets. So it's enough for me to do one a week and not have any trouble. And what this does is it establishes an RSS feed for you. So that stands for Really Simple Syndication. And what that does is you upload it to that one spot, and then they push it out with that RSS feed to multiple spots. You have to set up the channels, but they have a back-end dashboard for you where you can set up all of these. So Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, the socials, iHeartRadio, and it even integrates with Wix.com, which is where I built my website. So what you do is you set it up, you upload it once to Libsyn, and then you have your RSS feed hooked up to these different platforms, and in one click of publish, it goes everywhere all at once, instead of you having to manually upload it to each different platform, which is extremely helpful. You spend more time recording and building your brand and less time in front of the computer trying to figure out how to get it out there. So what's neat, too, to mention about TuneIn is they are on Alexa. So right now, if I say Alexa, play Relish the Journey, it'll bring up my podcast. It'll bring up the album art if you have the any of the photo Alexas, and then it'll start playing. So I don't have the Google Home or anything like that. I'm assuming Google Play, it'll pull from that as well. But it seems like an off-brand that you might not pay attention to, but I'd recommend researching each one because each have a niche market and have different benefits. I never would have thought Alexa, but it worked. And it's really great for search engine optimization as well, because the more you have your content out there on different platforms and linking back to your website, the more people will find you in search. iTunes, if you notice, was not on that list. This is one where you have to do it differently. You have to go create an iTunes Connect account. And I'll share some tips with this, because this was the most frustrating part for me. You need to use an Apple ID that is already tied to an Apple product. I tried to create an Apple ID just specific for the show because I didn't want to tie it to my personal phone or my business phone or other accounts I'd set up, but it was never working, it was never registering or validating the RSS feed, and you know, a month later, having no help on support, I just decided to try it and then found in some forums that other people had the same problem. So it's important that you use something that you're already registered to Apple, otherwise you'll have a lot of headache. You sign up with your Podcast Connect account, and then all it's going to ask is for that RSS feed, which you can pull from Libsyn, a quick copy paste, and then hit validate. It'll validate it, and then your account's set up. And then from then on, when you hit publish in Libsyn, it then pushes it to iTunes. It's not something that's available to you directly from that Libsyn dashboard like the other ones are. So additional resources, you know, it's fairly, once you get it down, it's easy to record and then save it as an MP3 and then upload it. But then you have the opportunity of marketing and how do you get the word out. So there's plenty of ways you can do that. Again, low barrier to entry. Music and sound effects are huge to keep it interesting. No one likes the sound of their own voice, and your audiences won't be any different. So having a good intro, outro, sound effects, things to keep them interested and engaged. This is a site that I found that had a huge selection of what we call pod-safe music. So there's a lot of licensing rules that I won't get into all the details of, but you need to buy the licenses for broadcast of the music. You can't just take your favorite song and put it out there because you'll have people knocking at your door asking for royalties or telling you to cease and desist and stop. So there are artists that just create sounds and intros specific for this these kind of sites. I bought a song for $15 for a limited amount of streaming, and it gave you a 15-second, a 30-second, a minute, and like a 3-minute, so you can use different variations of it. And it gave you a license and all the paperwork, so if anybody would challenge you, you have that as backup as far as legal stuff goes. Canva is an excellent resource just for marketing in general, podcasts aside. It's desktop and an app on your phone. And it's an image editor. So you can see my template here that I use for Instagram when I release a new episode. I can create that template, and then all I do is copy it, change out the background image, change out the episode number and the name of the episode, and then I can download it. I can do it from my phone, I can do it from a computer, and I can do it in about a minute. And again, spend more time talking to people and not in Photoshop trying to make it too difficult. There's a lot of filters you can apply. You can change the coloration. They have a whole bunch of templates you can pick from that all you have to do is put your image in, and they do a lot of the work for you. And there's a free version. You can pay for an upgraded version, but I haven't found the need for it yet. So again, another good free resource that will help you make yourself look professional. Headliner is a great one too. Again, free. You can upload that image you created on Canva and then up to a 10-minute audio clip of your podcast, and it will transcribe your audio for you so that you see those videos on social media where someone's talking and the words are playing because if the sound's not on, you don't know what they're saying. This will do that for you and create it. It comes with a basic back-end editor where you can control the captions. You know, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong, but you can listen back and then manually adjust the words, and then change where they're at in the timeline. You can add intro and outro images. You can add these little waveforms, so as they're talking, it bounces up and down with audio. And then you can download it and save it to the cloud, share it right to Instagram, and things like that. And again, free. So that was a whirlwind, I know. I wanted to leave time for Q&A because I think that's where we'll have the most value with everyone because, like I said, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You might all have specific questions. But one thing to think about, we call this Brand Yourself, How to Build a Podcast for Your Home Building Business. I want to focus on brand yourself because what I don't want to see anybody do is go out and create hour-long sales pitches of your business because nobody wants to hear that. When you're thinking about your podcast, you need to think about you. People are listening to your voice, your personality, your ideas, your ability to bring a bigger audience to them through your network to provide value. That's what you should really focus on, is how can I bring value to my audience? How can I educate them on a topic? How can I connect them with somebody that can help them grow their circle? How can I teach them something? And then your business second. If you start this and you have a million ads in and around and all you're doing is talking about you and how awesome you are instead of bringing other people in for the topic at hand, you won't be as successful. If you look at all the big guys that are out there, the moguls, if it were, they don't even talk about their businesses at all. All they're talking about are people and conversations and what somebody else is doing. And then if you like that person and their personality, you find what they're doing. So I think it's a big point to focus on this, is you can buy all the equipment, you can set it up, you can hit record, but you need to focus on branding you as a person, not you as a business. The business should come second and you as a person should come first. So when you're thinking about that, as you get started, you gotta pick your topic and theme. So for me, I'll use myself as an example. Relish the Journey, I wanted a theme that was broad because I didn't quite know what I wanted it to turn into, and I didn't want to get pigeonholed into one specific topic. So people have their journeys, right? If it's personal or professional or, you know, just a recent experience they went through. We all have something going on, and I wanted to talk to people about personal topics or business topics and have the flexibility to bounce in between the two. So you can pick a topic, you could stick it to home building. You know, there's plenty of topics to talk about, be it financing or the building systems that we talk about here and alternative methods of construction, things that people might need to learn about and educate themselves with. Starts with a topic, and then it shows structure. So are you going to interview people? Are you going to be solo? Are you going to do a mix of both? Is it an hour long? Is it 30 minutes long? It's important that that structure is consistent, because people, when they subscribe and keep coming back, it's because they know what they're getting into. If you're throwing stuff out in left field every single time, it's going to affect your audience and your reach. So pick a structure and then record a few episodes. I recorded 12 episodes before I went live. I wanted to make sure that it would work long term, that people I was talking to were on board with it, that they liked it, and that I could have a body of work that made sense before I published one. That way I could go back and edit it or delete stuff. So I recommend recording a significant amount. It doesn't have to be 12, but whatever you think is enough. And then when you post it, I posted 3 or 4 at one time, because when you look at the algorithms of how it all works, they recommend that, because it gives people more of a, you know, of a grouping to make sure they like you and they want to subscribe. If it's just episode one, meet the host, and it's you talking about what you're going to do, and then they don't have another example, it's going to be hard to bring them back into that conversation. And then develop your footprint. That's where those resources came in. You have to be on it with images and video and, you know, subscriptions and things like that, because it's really a content strategy game. We all know in business that content is king. So when it comes to podcasting, you have to think about it like it's your own, it's another business. You're building a brand, be it yourself or the name of your show, and you have to get that content out there on a regular basis. And then market, network, and grow. So I've done, I forget who coined this term, so you can't credit me with it, but a bunch of swap casts. So reaching out to other podcasters and say, hey, I'll interview you for my show. I think I'd be a great fit for yours, because then he's advertising me and my show on his platforms to his audience, and I'm doing the same. And it's a good way to network and meet like-minded individuals and expand your audience. And then just reaching out to people. If you all have business contacts, you start there. But also, it's amazing how receptive people are on social media. I've gotten my last 25 gets just by direct messaging on Instagram, saying, hey, I really like what you do. I'm a follower. You know, I think you provide value in this and that way, and I'd like to interview and learn more about it. And people love talking about themselves. So it's a really a good strategy to help you. So that's how you start a podcast. And now we can get into questions for anything specific that you guys are thinking about. So, right there.
We're in early development of a podcast. We've got our Instagram and kind of got an arc and plan, and we start recording in a couple of weeks. I'm just wondering if you have any talk about, because we're all local businesses, how this applies, since it's more of a global medium, you know, how do we make sure that it reaches a local audience?
Sure. Well, by interviewing local people, you're on the right start, because people love talking about themselves and they love sharing their own story. So if you're interviewing local people, they're going to say, hey, check us out, you know, and they're going to share it, and then it's going to reach their audience and grow from there. I've had good success with that, where it's almost like an audio spotlight of, you know, this business, and you go there every day for your cup of coffee or something like that, but how did they get started? You know, what's their journey, pun intended? But then also with advertising, you can target your local area with Instagram ads or Facebook ads, and specifically reach your local area for the interests that you're talking about or that you want to reach. And for minimal investments, if you haven't tried it, for like $5 a day, you can reach a couple hundred to 1,000 people that you haven't reached before.
Okay. How long, or what's the optimum length of a podcast?
There's no right answer to that question. It's really in the, you know, the ear of the beholder, right? But that's why it's great that you can pause. If you've heard of Joe Rogan, he's a big podcaster. He's done thousands of episodes. His shows are like 3 hours long. And people love it because they love Joe. I try to keep it to about an hour just because that's my personal taste. When I listen to podcasts, I'm walking the dog or I'm driving, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not sitting down to a movie. You know, I can do it while I'm doing another task. I found with my analytics that about an hour is my sweet spot. Between half an hour and an hour is what I found to work. But it's really going to depend on the audience and what they're engaged with. And you'll be able to tell after you do a few episodes. If you try, I'll do a 20-minute one, a 30-minute one, a 40-minute one, and so on, and then see how the downloads compare. That'll help you narrow it down. Bill? Yeah, back.
So with your podcast, do you always, on all of your podcasts, interview somebody?
No. Sometimes I've done solo ones, just using the term Relish the Journey, on things in my journey. So I had a big life event come up. You know, my son was in the hospital for something. He's okay. But I just talked about that. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm all about letting you in behind the scenes to know me. And so I did a solo episode about that. But most often I interview people, yeah, just because to me it's a personal project where I want to meet new people and talk to people. So I do it for myself first, and then I'm sharing it with people. So, yeah, most of the time I interview.
A lot of people have web pages associated with their podcast. Do you do that?
I do. I do. My website's called rtjmedia.com. And so I built that through Wix. It's a very easy platform. You can build a website yourself, and they have a podcast plugin. So again, using that RSS feed, all I did was select that template on their website builder and then put the RSS feed in. And now every time I put an episode out, it automatically updates the website for me. So I don't have to go in every week and update it. But yeah, I have a that way when I'm directing them to a link, it's branded. Libsyn will give you a website. So mine is relishthejourney.libsyn.com. But to me, I didn't think that sounded professional, that .libsyn, so I made my own.
And a lot of podcasters seem to have advertisers. Do you do that, too?
I'm getting into that. I wanted to make it, you know, cool first. Like I said, I didn't want to hit people with ads all the time, so I just focused on building good content and networking. And now a lot of the people that I've been interviewing, you know, some apparel brands, event marketers, things like that, they saw the value in what I did when I interviewed them, and we're building partnerships for, you know, promo codes for my listeners to get a percentage off, and then I get a kickback, things like that. So I found that it sort of organically grows on its own once you reach out, because people want to see what are they going to get for it, right? You know, what are your downloads? If you're a new... You haven't proved yet that it's worth their investment.
But you obviously don't need to have advertisers.
No, and I would say I wouldn't start a podcast to make money. It should be a supplement to something else. So to your own business, it's a way to get your name out there and for you to network and grow your personal brand, not necessarily to make money. If it makes money, great, but it's a good supplement to another revenue-generating model instead of being the only revenue-generating model. Great questions. Hey. Well,
do you know any organizations that use it as like an internal communication or training tool at all?
I don't personally, no, but I think it could work. It's you can focus the content internally, but invariably it's going to get out there. If you put it on iTunes, everybody will have access to it. But that's a good way to build engagement in your organization, because they're going to be invested. They're going to hear an interview with their coworker in the office next door and learn something they might not have known. And it's a good way to build a team, I'd imagine. But I don't know of anybody doing that specifically.
Is there any value to regularity where you drop a podcast every week, every month?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think the key to growing your audience is consistency, for sure, and persistency. Because no one's going to listen to it at first. You're going to throw it out there and wonder, why do I only have 10 downloads? What's going on? But you have to keep plugging away. You know, when I first talked to Devin about this, I think I was only at 20 episodes. And now I'm here at 56, and I'm talking to you guys. So you just got to keep going. But absolutely, when they subscribe, they want to know when the next episode is going to come out. If it's a guessing game, there's so many podcasts out there. Somebody else is going to capture their attention and take them from you.
So how often would you recommend publishing?
At least once a week. I know several podcasts that do, you know, one a day or twice a week. Again, it depends on the type of content. The example of the podcast that does like one a day, they do one where they interview a guest and they have the long form. Then the next day they release snippets of what they thought were the golden nuggets of, you know, the best pieces from the interview. And then they interview somebody that listens to their podcast, again, to double down on the local, you know, people in their area that are listening to them to build their local area. And then the next day they do a podcast, just the two of them, where they kind of talk about that week and all this good stuff, and then they take the next day off. So they just sort of build on that first episode through the week, and it's worked for them. But they're also on season 3, and they've done over 100 episodes. So it's something that you'll, once you get in your groove, you'll figure out what works by trial and error.
Do you do a season, or do you do just continuous?
I just do continuous. Really just because I feel like I'm going down the same content arc, where it is still season 1, even though I'm on 56 episodes. Eventually, I could just say, okay, that makes sense to cut now, and it's become something different than it was, so we'll call it season 2. But yeah, it's just season 1, and then I keep the numbers going. You see seasons a lot when it's, you know, there's true crime podcasts, right? Just like there's Netflix shows. So when it has to be season-based, you see that a lot. Or like these guys I talked about, they do a different sort of really marketing strategy. They change up their studio where they record and then shoot the video so it looks different, and there's a different setup so that it marks that end and beginning of a new season.
Any other questions? Well, hey, thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Presentation.
Yeah. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks for indulging me in this solo episode. And I want to give a couple shout-outs here. I really want to thank Devin Perry from the Building Systems Council, part of the National Association of Home Builders. I was talking to Devin at another industry event in Knoxville, Tennessee earlier this year. And I was talking about podcasting and how I thought it could be a good avenue for the association to educate home buyers. And he was just like, hey, man, you got to do it. Want to have you talk at IBS, International Builder Show. Terrible acronym, I know. But I want you to talk at IBS. And a lot of people would have this question about how you do it. And I think you could help us. And so I said, sure. And when I said sure, I didn't have 20 episodes. I barely had 20. I didn't have a website. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a promo video. I was still interviewing family and friends. And me signing up to do this talk, I had to make it happen. I had to double down and say, okay, if I'm going to speak at the international guys, not just United States, people from all over the world were here at the show and at my talk. If I'm going to do that, I got to have my shit together. Like, I got to look professional. I got to know what I'm talking about. I have to bring value to this room. And so that made the next 4 or 5 months, that was my mission of, let me scale this thing. Let me get a better quality guest. Let me improve my interview skills. And let me make this thing something that's worth that stage I'm going to be on. So huge shout out to Devin and thank you to him. Appreciate the opportunity so much. It's been so good for me. Also, big shout out to Dave Cooper. Dave is a guy that I work with in my 9-to-5, but he's also hustling it hard on the vlogging game. He's doing little videos. He's getting a lot of success, especially on LinkedIn, when it comes to educating people on modular homes and how it's a better building system and everything his company can do to bring value. So check out Dave Cooper on LinkedIn. He's the modular home expert. He does the Modular Minute that is trademarked, so don't take it. So thank you, Dave, for recording the audio for this episode so that I could even put this out there. I really appreciate you doing that for me. And Dave and I have some cool things coming forward that we're collaborating on. It's going to be fun. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in every week, for helping put me on that international stage. And I'm looking so much forward to the content I have coming up. The guests keep getting better. The conversations keep getting more in-depth and real. And I truly believe in this mission to interview the world and that everybody has something interesting to say. We can all learn from it. We can all bring value to one another. And I'm going to keep talking to this microphone until that's not true. And I think I'll be talking to this microphone for a while. So until next time, hit us up at rtjmedia.com. Subscribe, rate us, comment on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, everywhere you listen to podcasts. Helps keep us moving and grooving. Appreciate you all. Until next time, cheers, everybody.